Thank you, Hayley. Well, my name's Jeremy. I'm the Children and Families Pastor here. It's great to be able to come and share God's Word with you. And those of you who I've got to know over these 6 months or so that we've been here know that I love to start my talks with a game or a quiz or some sort of competition. So we're going to play What Am I? So this is where you have some pictures from unusual angles and you've got to try and work out what they are. Well, a nice easy one just to get you going. So just call out if you can recognise what that is. Banana, there we go. So that was the easy one. They get a bit harder, I think, but maybe not. We'll have a look and see. Anyone got any idea what that could be? Could be a twig. Not a twig, though. Just shout it out. Apple. We had an apple from back there. And you know something? It is an apple. It's that top bit of the apple stem. Well done. Right, have a look at that one. Any ideas? Got a, not an onion, no, but I think I did hear a toothbrush. And it was the Brussels on a toothbrush. Okay, what about this one?
Orange.
Not an orange, good guess.
Orange.
I think I heard pencil. And it was a pencil, well done. Let's have a look at that. This is a tough one, I think, a really difficult one. What do you think? Bit of a... No? Any ideas? It's not a toilet brush, no, but I'm not a million miles away with that. This is sort of that middle green bit of one of those sort of scourer things. That was a really hard one, wasn't it? There we go. And finally, any ideas here? A bit like a cake, isn't it? But of course, that is like an Oreo there, isn't it? It's that biscuit there. Well done. So, of course, sometimes it's difficult to recognise what things are if the picture's taken from a different angle. Sometimes you get pictures that kind of confuse you. Have any of you seen a picture like that before, where it just looks a little bit weird? You're not really sure what's going on. What about this one? I've never been able to work out how many legs the elephant has. Is it 4? Is it 5? Is it 6? I'm not sure there. That's a tough one there. I'm sure you've seen that one. I'm sure you've seen this one. Are they horizontal? Are these lines parallel or do they slope? They look like they're sloping, don't they? But actually, if you get a ruler out, the lines are straight. They're parallel, they're flat. And that's one of those weird visual illusions. What about this one? Is it a rabbit or a duck? If you look at the left, you get a rabbit. And a rabbit is looking to the right. A duck is looking to the left. Incredibly confusing pictures can sometimes be. And you know something? Jesus' disciples had seen many, many strange things. And I guess they were wondering what was going on. Maybe they were even a little bit confused. They'd seen Jesus be baptized. They'd seen a dove come down from heaven and land on him. They'd even heard a voice from the sky saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." They'd heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount. They'd seen him do many healings in Galilee. They'd seen him heal lepers. Remember the story of the paralyzed man where the roof was made open. They had made a hole in the roof, lowered a man down, and Jesus healed the man. They'd seen Jesus heal the centurion's servant, even calm a storm at sea. They'd seen Jesus bring a girl back to life. Remember Jairus' daughter? They'd seen him feed 5,000 people with just some fish and some bread. They'd even seen him walk on water. But still, people were reluctant to proclaim him the Messiah. "Some say you're John the Baptist," they said. "Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah." And it took Peter to say these great words, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The structure of the passage is really straightforward. In verse 13, Jesus asks a question about his identity. Who am I? Who do people say I am? In verse 14, the disciples respond. Then Jesus asks the same question again in verse 15, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter responds. And then the rest of this passage is about Jesus teaching, bringing his program to us, and the authority that he gave his disciples. So first, the narrative begins with this question: who do people say I am. That map here is just showing us where this took place in the region of Caesarea Philippi. This was a city 1,100 feet above sea level at the foot of Mount Hermon, about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus wanted to know who people thought he was. I guess the reason for this question was the changing of opinions about Jesus under the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And this place, with its temple to Pan, provided a perfect backdrop for the revelations that were to come. So the second part of the narrative, the disciples answer. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah. Some thought he was John, come back from the dead. If you remember, Herod had just had John executed. Maybe he was the forerunner to the Messiah, Elijah. Or Matthew includes Jeremiah, the first of the later prophets in the canon. Perhaps some people were struck by the authority of Jesus and his suffering as well at the hands of the leaders. Maybe he was even considered a prophet of doom like Jeremiah was. But no group at that time was openly confessing that Jesus was the Messiah. Some individuals were using messianic titles, but we don't know how strongly they believed, how much they understood, or how influential they were. So Jesus then says, "Who do you say I am?" What a question. Who do you say I am? And the "you" is really emphatic. It's plural. It's a line that Jesus was asking the disciples, a really, really crucial line in the whole of Scripture, I would say. And so I think Peter is speaking on behalf of all the disciples when he answers, you know, "You are the Messiah, you are the Lord, the Son of God, the Christ." You know, this term, the Christ, is a Greek rendering of a Hebrew Messiah. It means the Anointed One. And since in the Old Testament, the Davidic king was to be called God's son, and we know that from Psalm 2 and Samuel 7, I think Peter really meant this. He was really proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. He was convinced that Jesus was the coming king who would heal the people. And we've noticed before that the description of Jesus as the Son of God is also filled with meaning. But it's more than the Son of God. Peter's proclaiming Jesus as the same as the Father. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Think about those words for a moment. Romans 10, verse 9, we read these amazing words. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." If you're able to say these words, I think that's an amazing thing to do. If these words are new to you or you don't feel comfortable saying them, do talk to one of us after the service. I would say that this could be one of the greatest days of your life if this is something you can say for the first time today. Jesus is Lord. Say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart. And if we can say this, what does this mean in our lives? Well, we've just sung the song all through history. We've been thinking in our Sunday groups about Jesus there at the beginning, Jesus there at the end. Jesus, the Son of God, fully human, fully God. In the beginning was the Word, in the beginning with Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if we proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, surely we proclaim Jesus as God. So therefore, our lives need to reflect this. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he gave the summary of the law. I'm sure you know it well. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. Love your neighbour as yourself." And after that, he told a story. Does anyone remember what story Jesus told after he gave the summary of the law? Which parable he told? What was it? Can you remember? "The one with a Samaritan." Brilliant. Well, I thought it would be good just to remind us of that story. So could I have a couple of volunteers to be baddies? You're going to be a baddie. Excellent. And who else is going to be a baddie? Let's have someone over here. Come and be a baddie, Aurelia. Come on then. A couple of baddies. So, baddies, can you come up on stage? And I've got a shield for you and a sword for you. There we go. Come on over here, baddies. Can you come and hide in your secret baddie cave over here? All right. And just get down really low. No, nobody knows you're here, all right? Just, do you want to kneel down on the floor? There we go. I've got to be really quiet, all right, so no one knows you're there. So once there was a person going from Jerusalem to Jericho. So I need a traveller. You're going to be our traveller. Thank you very much. So up on the stage, start on your journey and stop just there. Let's move this out of the way. Okay. And this traveller, I was doing this journey. Suddenly, now remember, we're only acting. All right. The baddies leapt out. They knocked the traveller to the ground. Fall down. There we go. Carefully. There we go. They stole all her bags. They stole everything and ran off back to their secret cave. There we go. Run off. There we go. Never choose a brother and a sister. There we go. And of course, the traveller was in great pain. Can we have a cry of pain? Fantastic. Thank you very much. Fortunately for the traveller, there was a priest travelling on the journey. Thank you very much. Come and be our priest. Fantastic. And the priest, do you want to sort of do... Let's go, and I'll give you a Bible. Here you go. There we go. Come up onto the stage. And there the priest saw this person crying out in pain. But you know, the priest was late for PCC. So he quickly walked on past on the other side. There we go. Just sit down there. Thank you very much. Fortunately, there was a teacher, a Levite, a teacher of the law, who's going to come. Do you want to come and be our teacher of the law? Thank you very much. Up you come, onto the stage. And the Levite came up and saw the traveller, but she was scared. Can you do some good scared acting? Brilliant. Well done. Oh, yeah, let's have a moan of pain. Go on. And so the teacher of the law went on past as well. Then the Samaritans. Samaritans and Jews. The traveller was a Jew. The Samaritans were the enemies of Jews for hundreds of years. They'd been at odds. Who's going to be our Samaritan? Go on then, Samuel. Come on there. Up you come. And the Samaritan saw and heard the traveller, the Jew, crying out in pain. And of course, everyone was expecting when Jesus told this story, the Samaritan to totally ignore her. But the Samaritan bent down, bandaged the wounds, helped her up, and bring her this way, even took her to the nearest inn and paid the innkeeper to look after her and to provide medicine. Let's give a round of applause to our fantastic actors. Thank you very much. Thank you. And of course, after that story, Jesus asked, who was the true neighbour? The reason I wanted to remind us of that story was because what I'm trying to bring to us today is that if we do believe Jesus is the Son of the living God, then it's really important that our actions illustrate this, our actions reflect this. And so we need to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. That's perhaps one of the reasons we're here today, to show our love for God, but also to love our neighbour as ourselves, and as in that story, our neighbour being, anyone we have contact with. Knowing Jesus as the Son of God means loving God and loving each other. It means showing that love in how we live our lives, how we talk to each other, how we act to each other, regardless of how we're feeling. Whether we're at school, at college, at university, at home, at work, we can show Jesus as the Son of God as well as know Jesus as the Son of God. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth, we're told by John in 1 John 3. Peter, who spoke these words, his life reflected his faith. And if you remember later in that story, Jesus says he's going to build his church upon Peter. We read in James that faith without deeds is meaningless. So for me, the challenge of proclaiming Jesus as the Son of the living God is the challenge of knowing this and also the challenge of showing it in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your words that teaches us about Jesus, that teaches us that he is the Son of God and also fully God. We pray that in our own lives we can reflect that so that we can show it as well as know it.